Aham tatvat vikurvanam. Mano vikarikat abhu. Vaikarikascha ye deva. Artha bhivyanjanam yata. By word translation, kindly repeat. Aham tatvat. From the principle of false ego. Vikurvanat. By transformation. Manaha. The mind. By karikat, by interaction with the mode of goodness. Abhut, generated. By karika, by interaction with goodness. Cha, also. Ye, all these. Devaha, demigods. Artha, the phenomenon. Abhivyanjana, physical knowledge. Yataha, the source. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, His Confounder Acharya. By Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The false ego is transformed into mind by interaction with the mode of goodness. All the demigods who control the phenomenal world are also products of the same principle, namely the interaction of false ego and the mode of goodness. Please kindly repeat. The false ego is transformed,
into mind.
By interaction with the mode of goodness.
All the demigods
who control the phenomenal world are also products of the same principle, namely the interaction of false ego and the mode of goodness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. False ego interacting with the different modes of material nature is the source of all materials in the phenomenal world. Aum agina timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshura milita minatasmahi shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manavistam stapitam ena bhutale svayam rupa kadam hayam dadati swaha padantikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantvara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna to all the wonderful members of Melbourne Yatra. I'm very, very privileged, very blessed to be here with all of you. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, all Vaishnavas, Gaur Nitai, I arrived. last night for the next 5 days. I'll be here before I go to the retreat in New Zealand. So please engage me in your service as much as possible. Then I will return on 12th of January to remain for 1 month in Melbourne until 12th February. So this is my humble program. Today we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam from 3rd Canto, Chapter 5, entitled Vidura's Talks with Maitreya Rishi, with Maitreya. So, text 30. As we already heard, read the verse. This verse delves into the subject of the origin of this material world. What creates the material elements? The false ego, Prabhupada clarifies in the purport, the false ego interacting with the different modes of material nature is the source of all materials in the phenomenal world. So here, Prabhupada speaks of the material of mind, mana. It's one of the material energies. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. These are Krishna's 8 separated energies. So the mind is one of these material energies, and ultimately the mind is born from false ego. So what is false ego? False ego, we could also translate this word ahankara into false identity. Very simple. It makes even more sense. False identity. It's almost, we could even further take it to explain false identity means to act or to pretend to be something you're not. It's just like if I wear a clothes of policeman and I go on the street and then stopping cars and finding them for something, you know. Fine for this or for that. Oh, you got this problem, your tires are too not pumped properly or something, you know. And then I steal the money. So basically you're pretending to be someone you're not. That is false ego. You understand the example I'm giving? The policeman is actually a cheater who is dressed in a uniform and he stops the cars and he finds people, and then at the end of the day he doesn't give the money to the government who is supposed to be representing, but he takes the money for himself. It's false identity. So, false ego. And everyone in this material world is under the control of the false ego. And of course, if someone acts as a false policeman, he is very much aware what he's doing. And then after some time working as a false policeman, he immediately hides himself, he changes his clothes, and he becomes whoever he is again, an ordinary person. But the problem with us is when we come once to this material world, we become completely controlled by the material energy, and we forget who we are. And there is no remembrance. We don't come back into our original consciousness. We cannot actually get back into our original consciousness. Not possible. Because we are completely absorbed and consumed by this material energy. And why we are absorbed and consumed by this material world is because we want it. We want that. So, speaking about origin, speaking about origin, if we look at what science says about origin or different revelations, religious revelations, it is always very confusing when you try to study the subject of origin. Like the Bible or the Quran, I heard recently the Pope says, Pope Francis, the new Pope, he says that we are going to ignore this fable of Adam and Eve. So the Bible is going to change. Catholic Church is changing because they felt that there is many, many things that look strange in their belief system. So this is in the last religious council they had this year. It was published. He declared he believes in evolution. He declared that the truth is changeable and mutable, that the truth is not absolute. And therefore he has the power to change the Bible. And basically, he said that many of the things that are in the Bible we see unhealthy, such as promoting hatred or sectarianism between different religions. So he said from now, the Catholics will accept all religions. We will not say that we are the only way. So, and then he thinks that this was the actual message of the Bible, and then they have to change it. But we understand from Prabhupada's teachings that these kind of sectarian ideas, for example, if we take that example of sectarian idea, that this is the only way, Jesus is the only way, this was developed much later than the time of Jesus. People's understanding, contaminated understanding became, I would say, altered the meaning of the Bible. So if the Pope wants to change this unhealthy belief, then he's got no real understanding that this is not the absolute truth. And then he has to evolve it because the truth is not absolute. But he simply has to change an alteration that occurred in historical time. You know, an alteration of belief, a perception that was introduced into the teachings of Jesus over a period of time. So he simply has to differentiate between truth and what was developed by human imperfection and what infiltrated into biblical perspective about the world. Am I clear? He has to change what is the deviation that is that has occurred over a period of time. Not that he has to change the truth. But it looks like for him the truth and the deviation are one. Therefore he thinks that the truth has to evolve to remove this deviation. But actually the deviation is completely separate from the truth. So, going back to the fable of Adam and Eve, what's the problem with this fable? The problem is that it suggests that because of the sin of someone else, Adam and Eve, then everyone else that came after them is inheriting that sin. In other words, Adam and Eve are responsible for all of us, why we are persons full of vices and imperfect behavior. So Adam and Eve are to be blamed. You know, this is what the fable suggests. Adam and Eve to be blamed, why we are here and why we are suffering and why we have vices, why we are violent. It's their issue and then we just inherited that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So it looks strange. It looks strange. Why should I inherit someone else's sinful consciousness? You know. So Prabhupada actually says that in the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, we understand we are all Adam and Eve. Every one of us. We all have taken responsibility to remove ourselves from God. We all have made that choice. It's not that someone else made it for you and then just by accident you appeared in this world and then you're like this vicious monster that kills flies or cuts their wings and things like that. You know? Like kids, you remember? Sometimes like kids we used to do that. Cut the wings of the fly and then laugh, you know, how she cannot fly. So we're monsters in this material world. So we can't just blame Adam and Eve for this. Prabhupada said we are all responsible. We can't just put it on someone else's account. And then Jesus has to come to die for us because we are so sinful, such huge wretches that we cannot do anything. Then Jesus has to come and die and you just have to believe in Him. And you just have to carry on with your nonsense. But just believe in Him and He'll save you. That is not the original teaching of Jesus. Recently, I was on book distribution in Cape Town and I spoke to one Christian minister who happened to meet me on books and I told him that what these books will do to you, these books will help you to understand that you are not this mortal body. This is lesson one. You are not this horrible mortal body that you are so attached to. And if you understand that you are not this mortal body, then only you can serve God. You cannot serve God if you think you are this mortal body because, first of all, you won't understand who is God. Second of all, if you think you are the body, you will want to satisfy the senses. You will want to serve the body. And if you want to serve the body, when is your time to serve God? There is no time. You are engaged in serving this identity, false identity. And then I explained to him that these books will help you to understand you are not this mortal body, that you are an eternal spiritual being that has a human experience. And what's the proof of that? I told him, look at your body. It is made of chemicals. Certain molecules produce chemical elements and they're just combination, different chemical combinations. What makes chemistry alive? What turns chemistry into biology? Scientists have no answer for that. And religion, of course, has very little to say because they don't fully understand the spiritual aspect. In fact, most Abrahamic religions have been made to believe that we are this body. But that is not the absolute truth. The Bible, the Quran, the Torah, they all explain there is a difference between the soul and the body. But somehow or other, in the past few centuries, that whole has been lost. The Bible says in James 2:20, body without spirit is dead. Clear. Flesh and bones will not inherit the kingdom of God. Clear. In the Bible, it is there. The Quran, it says ruh. Ruh is the spirit inside the body. And the Torah also has knowledge of even reincarnation when we speak about the Kabbalah, you know, the section of the Jewish tradition called Kabbalah. There is an indication of reincarnation, which means the soul moves into changes from body to body. So this is the knowledge of the ancient Christianity, ancient Islam, ancient Judaism, which were in line with the Vedic teachings. But the modern, you are this horrible body, you are sinful wretch, just worship God and one day He will save you. But how can you really worship God if you are completely subservient to your body, to your senses? So then I explained to this Christian minister that the body is made of chemicals. Chemicals are non-living. So it is an illusion to think that life comes from matter. And if you understand that you're a spiritual being that has nothing to do with this material body, then you can engage the body in the service of God. And if you understand that the source of everything is the super soul. You are the soul, you're a spiritual being in a human body, but the source of everything, including the material energy, is the super soul. You are the soul, there is the super soul. So the purpose of our life, the purpose of the soul, is to reconnect with the super soul by devotional service. This is what these books are teaching. And this is all over again, all the ancient traditions, all the religious scriptures. The Bible says, Matthew 7:21, if you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do the will of my Father will not know you. Or then in John, I forgot the verse exactly, it says, if you serve me, Jesus says, as I serve my Father will honor you. If you serve me, as I serve my Father will honor you. Service. Islam means to submit to God. And then when we look at Bhagavad Gita, what is the message of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita? Sarva dharma parityaja mame kam sharanam braja ham tvam sarve papibhyo moksha shami masuchara. Give up all variety of religion and simply surrender unto me. Submit unto me. Obediently. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. So, spirituality or yoga really boils down to obedience, which destroys the false ego. This is the atomic bomb for the false ego. Obedience. You know. And this is within all scriptures, but who is actually following that? So this Christian minister, he heard me, what I said, and he said to me, you know what, this is the original gospel of Jesus that you're speaking now. And he said, nobody is speaking like this anymore in churches. We just go there and we scream at the people, if you don't believe, you'll burn in hell, give your money to the church. This is their gospels most of the time. You know, I've been to churches and I hear what they say. If you don't believe in Jesus, you'll burn in hell. And at the end of the day, when the little presentation is finished there, give your money to the church. That's all. You know, you have to give. And Lord will know you. So, false ego. And false religion. False identity. Religion that encourages false identities is false. So Krishna is saying, give up all variety of religion. He's saying, give up all these false ideas, false conceptions of religion, and simply surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Masucha, no fear. Have no fear. So now, to go a little bit to the origin, a little more, I mentioned already Prabhupada's words that we are all responsible. So who is this we? Well, we are actually spiritual beings that have a human experience. Anti-material beings. In Bhagavad Gita 7.5, Krishna says, beyond these eight separated energies of mine, or Arjuna, there is another energy of mine, which is called Paraprakriti, superior energy of mine, Paraprakriti. And that Paraprakriti is comprised of the living entities who are currently exploiting this material world. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that beyond matter there is another energy, separate energy, not made of neutrons and protons and atoms and molecules, chemical elements. That energy is completely separate. Now, why this separate energy is here in this mortal world? It's because this energy, which is originally designated to be marginal energy of God. Marginal energy. Tatastha Shakti means marginal. Shakti means energy and Tatastha means intermediate. Marginal means situated between two other energies. One is called Anturanga Shakti, internal energy of God, divine blissful energy of God, and the other one is called Bahirangi Shakti, the external. So we are marginal, we are in between these two energies. And we have the freedom to choose where we want to be. all of us. We are the choice makers. Adam and Eve didn't make the choice for us. So we made the choice. And why we made this choice to come into this material world, we wanted to experience what it is to be God. What it is to be the enjoyer. Independent enjoyer. Swarat. God means Swarat. Independent enjoyer. So we all wanted to experience what it is to be the creator of your own destiny. To do something and to enjoy what you are doing. I was just thinking even this morning that the living entity, when and kind of connected to what I said just now, to be an independent enjoyer, what it means is the living entity says, I want to enjoy the internal energy the way Krishna is enjoying. In other words, I want to enjoy Radharani the way Krishna is enjoying. And then what happens when we want to embrace Radharani? Hare Krishna, Jeev Jav. When we want to embrace Radharani, Radharani turns into Durga. And then the Jiva, this anti-matter, it becomes covered with this biological body. And then this Jiva Atma, this marginal energy, becomes covered with this body. He is now embracing the internal energy, but that is transformed into the external. So we are embracing. And then another Jiva that wants to do the same also comes into this world, but in the opposite sex. And then we, now covered over by this external energy, we see ourselves as a specific sex or gender. And then we see the opposite and we become attracted. Because we think this is actually Shrimati Radharani, this is Sita Devi, this is the internal energy. So both sides are basically trying to be Purusha, both the man and the woman. They try to dominate the material energy and to enjoy by being Swarat, independent. So this is how the soul actually enters into this material world. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that it is lust only, O Arjuna, that makes this living entity come into this material world, which is the all-devouring energy of the soul, of this world, in fact. So when Prabhupada explains in that purport of 337 Bhagavad Gita, when the soul comes in contact with the mode of passion, immediately his eternal love for God transforms into lust. His eternal love for God transforms into lust. He becomes the center of everything he wants to enjoy. The internal energy. He wants to be the Purusha. When he wants to be the Purusha, he wants to embrace Prakriti. And then Prakriti, meaning Anturanga Shakti, the internal energy, immediately turns into Bahiranga Shakti, Durga Devi. And then karma immediately follows. You want to do something, you get a reaction. Because you want to be the Purusha. Some people blame God. Why did he create karma? You know, if we wanted to be separate, why didn't he create a perfect world for us so that we don't suffer? Because karma means if you do some negative thing, you have to receive the reaction. You can't just get the good reaction, you get the negative as well. So Krishna created this world because we wanted it. We wanted karma. We wanted to be like him. We wanted to do things and to enjoy. Krishna is independent, Swarat. But when the Jiva, the small living entity, which is an energy of God, wants to imitate God, immediately he becomes caught into this Durga prison, material prison. And material desire becomes the fuel for action. And in fact, the material desire is fueled by envy. Envy is the foundation of this, even of lust. Envy is the primordial principle of why the soul is coming to this material world. Matsarya. So then, This matsarya envy pushes us into lust and then the covering of the soul, and basically immediately from this the material world has to manifest. So Krishna creates this material world because we want it. The jivas, we want to be here in this material world. God didn't create this world by accident. He was doing something and, oh sorry, I made a mistake, you know. So these guys have to suffer, then I have to go and save them. God didn't create this world by accident. And this, or He didn't create this world like the way it is because He's cruel, He wants to torture us. Like some people think God is cruel because He created this world in such a cruel way. So much suffering there. No, you are cruel, that's all. All of us, if you're in this body, material body, that means you're a cruel person. That's why you're here. Unless you're Mahabhagavat who came to preach. So that is the reality. And if we understand I am a cruel person, I made the choice to be independent, the ball is in our court. Then it is up to us to decide I'm no longer want to be a cruel person. Selfish, violent personality. I want to become divine personality. I want to be to come to my original consciousness. That is your own choice that you have to come to in order to find the happiness you're looking for. You cannot find happiness in this material world the way you want it, permanent. You find some little drops of pleasure here and there, but permanent happiness cannot be found. So any intelligent person has to realize that this world is not really for me. I'm looking for permanent happiness, but it's not here, therefore this world is not for me. Any success, any achievement in this world will give you some pleasure and it will make you distressed also. How it will make you distressed? Sometimes the success, you become attached to your success and then you lose the success, then you're distressed. Or sometimes you have what you want, but then you get sick or something like that, and then you suffer. Although you have what you want. So in this world, you can never really get permanent happiness. So this is highly intellectual realization. The most intelligent people understand that. And one who is not so intelligent, the intellectuals, they have to go to them to help them to understand this reality. Yesterday I was traveling on the plane and I'm just observing the people, you know, everyone is just thinking I am this flesh and bones and I have to just gratify my flesh and bones. And they're thinking, you know, yes, there is a God, but I believe in Him and one day He will save me. But that is not in line with any of the authorized teachings of these great acharyas. So no wonder why is so much violence in this material world, so based on religion, so much sectarianism, so much twisted behavior based on religion. So much so that intellectuals, material intelligent people, materially astute or intelligent people, for example, as I mentioned the other night, I gave a talk in South Africa in one home, Richard Dawkins, for example, he criticizes religion. He says religion is evil. We have to take it out. We have to remove religion from people's lives because it separates people and puts them against one another and makes them violent. So he has a very good point. Very good point, because it is the fact, but he just does not understand that it is not religion, but it is the abused form of religion that causes this. And, you know, you can give him that argument and Richard Dawkins will argue further, but he'll say, okay, where is the not abused form of religion? Just show me, he'll say to you. Where it is? And then when you look at the world, where it is? It's hardly any people are behaving properly in this world. So you cannot say it is the abused form, but show me the real form of religion. So then we as devotees, we have a great responsibility as Vaishnavas in the movement of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to really show what is genuine spirituality, which is to understand that we are servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we are servants of God, and to be a servant of God means to love everyone and to serve everyone and to be a compassionate caretaker of every person, both human and other species. And also to be mindful of how do we treat even nature, how do we treat even dead matter. You know, you have to have a full respect for the all the aspects that you see in front of you, because everything is an energy of God, everything is an emanation of the Supreme Person. So if you are negligent, if you are violent, if you are negligent, if you are abusive towards any of the elements, you're in the mode of ignorance, you know. And you cannot serve God from the mode of ignorance. We can say in the beginning stages, okay, we may be in the mode of ignorance, but we have to get out of ignorance to passion at least, like Kapila Dev explains in third canto, bhakti in the mode of passion, you know, some passion, Mishra Bhakti is there. We try to do something for God, but we are so materially motivated, so much ego is there. At least that is better than just moaning and groaning and criticizing everyone, doing nothing and doing maybe little service here and there. But we are always depressed. That's the mode of ignorance. Mode of passion means to be motivated to do for Krishna, but at the same time we are so much into name and fame. And more of goodness means to recognize our fallen position and to become regulated to practice this process so that we could hopefully get into pure goodness, sattva gun. So more of goodness is about some humility is there actually, some humility. Although there is still some pride, because goodness is never pure in this world. It is always mixed with rajas. So even there is some pride, and we have to watch out. But goodness is the airport to transcendence. That's where you take off to the Sudha Sattva, Vasudev platform of pure devotional service. Aniya Binasita Sunyam, Gena Karmari Anavrita, Anukulena Krishna Nushilanam Bhakti Uttama. So this verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is taking us to the topmost platform. How is the verse? Aniya Binasita Sulam. No. Shunyam. Shunyam. Yeah. Aniya Binasita Shunyam. So this verse takes us to the transcendental platform where one is simply concerned with pleasing God, and that is called submission. That is called submission. It completely aims at satisfying Krishna. We have no longer separate agenda. Every activity that we performed is favorable. You know, there is no separate agenda. And it is pleasing to Krishna. That is the whole idea. So any real religion, any spirituality, it's all about this coming to that platform of Sudha Sattva. Submission, service, selfless service, with the aim of pleasing the Supreme Source of everything. Only highly intellectual personalities can understand that if I please the source of everything, I'll be immediately pleased. Because I am part and parcel of the source. So if Krishna is pleased, automatically I'll be pleased. Because I am his part of his energy. So we don't have to look for separate enjoyment. We don't have to try to make a separate arrangement for ourselves to be happy. simply understand our position as the servant. So the more we have this pure consciousness, or practice this pure consciousness, the more we transcend the false ego. And the more we become transcendental to the material world. We are in the world, but not of this world. You may have this body, but you are not controlled by the body. Not at all. You control the body. You take care of it and you use it in the service of God. One Christian gentleman told me some time ago, again on books, you meet a lot of them on book distribution. And he said something like this: so if you are serving God, then, you know, according to your tradition, then how do you become free of sex desire? He said to me like that. Don't you have sex desire? If you see a beautiful woman, don't you want to have a relationship with her? You know, like that he was asking me. I said to him, my dear sir, if you understand how wonderful is God, you have no desire for engaging with the opposite sex in that way. You may see, you may respect the beauty that may be there within one person, because everyone resembles God's beauty. But there is no desire, because this Purusha Bhav is gone. So, really, if you follow properly Krishna consciousness, you will lose any mundane attraction to the material world, including to the greatest attraction, sex desire. You will only use sex life for purpose of procreation. And you will be very happy, extremely happy. Some people think, no, I have to have sex to be happy. If you want to be miserable, you should have sex. The more intelligent one becomes, the more they understand that sex is something that binds us to this material world. Because we think we're this body, we have to gratify the senses, etc. So, anyways, if someone wants to have a relationship with the opposite sex, then there is an legitimate ashram, and there is marriage, and there is responsibilities, and of course there is byproducts in the form of children that have to be taken care of. But the whole purpose of this ashram is to help you understand that the pleasure is not in the interaction with the material energy at all. The pleasure exists only with in relation to Krishna. So this is the potency of Prabhupada, that if we follow purely, we become completely spiritualized. There's no material desires in the heart. The only desire is to please Krishna. And then it is amazing what happens. When we want to serve Krishna, you become completely blissful and happy. And completely... your whole life becomes completely designed by Krishna. There is no more karmic. If there is some karma, Krishna uses it sometimes to wake you up in case you're going in the wrong direction. But generally, Krishna takes full care. You become controlled by His internal energy because you are taking shelter of devotional service. So in this way, we become free from this material world, even while we are in the material world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki? Any comments or questions, Radha Sangha? Thank you. So, more of goodness leading to complacency, very simple. More of goodness produces happiness, material happiness. And then you may become confused that this is it. And then you may become complacent to search for the real happiness, which is pure devotional service. Is that enough? It's clear? That happiness, it binds you into some illusory satisfaction, and that produces the complacency. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj used to say, your previous success can be your worst enemy, because it makes you satisfied and deluded to think that this is it, I have succeeded. And it becomes your worst enemy because your drive to search for Krishna's lotus feet diminishes. Because you feel, wow, I have achieved so much, you know, I'm such a great person. I have so many disciples, can you see them? Hundreds of them. I am so successful, I'm preaching, I'm distributing Prabhupada's books, I'm so great. It's a powerful illusion. When you achieve so much, that same success can destroy you, can be your worst enemy. Actually, a bona fide spiritual master, even if he has such a great success, his yardstick for success, I'm just using this extreme example of a spiritual master, but that could be applied to any devotee, to all of us. The spiritual master, he looks at how much I am pleasing Krishna. This is his yardstick for success. He's not looking at, you know, how much he has succeeded in material progress, you know, in terms of facilities that he has and things like that. Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, if you are a cheater, Lord Nityananda will cheat you. He'll give you so much material prosperity and you'll think I am successful. But the real success is did you get the shelter of Krishna? Did you fully take shelter of Krishna? That is the success. And if you are a cheater, Lord Nityananda will give you so much wealth and power and this and that. You enjoy, you want that, here is it, take it. But if you are a pure sadhu, you will be not interested in these things. Your only interest will be, I want to be fully taken shelter of Krishna. And that leads me to your second question. What is obedience and what is blind following? Obedience means to understand that the order of the spiritual master is ultimate. Basically, if the spiritual master is requesting us something, bona fide spiritual master, then we have to obey the spiritual master. And if the spiritual master is not bona fide, if he's a pretender, and then if you follow that, if you're sincerely trying to serve God, you'll be protected. But if you're also a cheater, the spiritual master will be exposed and you'll be exposed. So the first ingredient to obedience is to have a bona fide spiritual master. Tad vidi pranipatena praniprasnena sevaya upadikshanti tegenam geninastatva darshana. If you want to understand the truth, approach a bona fide spiritual master and render submissive service unto him. The self-realized soul has seen the truth. He can impart real knowledge unto you. The first thing is find a bona fide spiritual master and become submissive to that spiritual master. This is the key. Now, if you are a cheater, if you are, you know, less intelligent, if someone is less intelligent, Krishna will protect you. But if someone is just a pretender, which is very rare to find such people, I guess I've never seen many of them. But, you know, of course, I've seen many devotees who are sentimentally coming to Krishna. But then, in the process, they become purified, they become elevated, they become more self-realized. And they at some point find the bona fide spiritual master, they surrender, and they make advancement. But if someone comes as a cheater, like a pretender, even pretenders can be purified. That's a fact. If the Lord wants to bestow His mercy. But if someone comes just to find comfort in this material world, if someone wants to be spiritual just to enjoy in this material world, then that person is a cheater. Because religion is, or spirituality is not about how to be simply happy in this world. Spirituality is happy, how to be happy eternally. You see. And how to be happy eternally means you have to understand your relationship with the eternal source. So blind following means not to understand the orders of the spiritual master and to follow the order externally. This is one other aspect of blind following. Like Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj, he always likes to give this example of the guru and the disciples. The guru was on a horse cart, I think, and he was traveling. You heard this story? And he was traveling to some holy place on pilgrimage. And his disciples were with him. And he told them, if something falls from the cart, you pick it up. No, first he didn't tell them anything. Something fell. And then he asked them, where is this thing? And they said, no, it fell. And he said, but why didn't you pick it up? They said, but you didn't tell us. So then he said to them, anything that falls from the cart, you pick it up. So then the horse passed too, and they picked it up. And then he told them, okay, whatever falls, how did it go? Whatever falls from it, if I tell you, then you pick it up. Something like that. It was the third. And then the guru was riding on that horse, and then one branch of a tree hit him in the forehead, and he fell from the horse on the ground. And because he was unconscious, he didn't say anything. And then they carried on because he didn't tell them. Something like that, I maybe have in my own interpretation. But the essence is the same. Basically, following blindly, it means not to understand the order of a bona fide spiritual master. First, you have to find and follow a bona fide spiritual master, and then follow strictly his order. But the second aspect is to understand what he's trying to say. He wants to engage you in service in a sustainable way so that you could serve Krishna throughout your whole life without deviating yourself, and ultimately so that you could attain Krishna. You have to understand why he is trying to engage you in devotional service. And then basically if he gives you an order, you have to try to execute it very carefully. Or if you cannot execute it, at least you have to communicate. Guru Maharaj, I don't think this is within my capacity. I can maybe not do that. There must be this open communication for certain reasons, and then he can adjust his order. But the order of the spiritual master is the foundation of progress. And if we ignore the order of the spiritual master, we will follow the order of the mind. There is no other way. And if we follow the order of the mind, that means we are still very much bound by the material energy. You see. Still ahankara, we heard in this verse, ahankara produces the mind. So the mind is thinking, I'll do this, I'll do that, you know, I'll just have my own ideas. So that is the real battlefield of Kurukshetra. To surrender to the order of the Lord. Sarva dharma parityaja mam ekam saranam vraja. The more we do this, the more empowered you become to help others understand the same principle. And Uttama Adhikari is someone, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Uttama Adhikari is someone who is completely obedient to his guru. Madhyam, he may have his own ideas, little bit, but still he's very, very obedient. But he still may have a little bit of leeway of how he wants to preach or what he wants to do. There is a little bit of a leeway there, maybe. But Uttama Adhikari is someone who is completely surrendered. So we have to come to that platform. At least Madhyam Adhikari. I want to speak of Uttama Adhikari. It means, Uttama Adhikari means someone who is completely transcendental, completely free of material desires or egoistic tendencies. So this is what religion is supposed to do, or spirituality, to lift us from darkness to light, from vices to purity. And if religion is not doing that, if religion is not producing love of God within the heart of its followers, then that is not authentic religion. Prabhupada said that. Shrava eva hi kevalam, that's in the Bhagavatam. It's a useless labor. If a religion or an institution or spiritual association is not producing love of God within the hearts of its followers, then that is just a waste of time. And love of God means submission and surrender. Hare Krishna. So this is my humble take. There could be many different realizations on the point of submission. But one has to understand the spiritual master's order and then execute it. Blind following means to do something without understanding it. You know, Radha Sangha, this is the... to do something without understanding is called blind following. Is that satisfying to you? Yeah. Welcome, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. I'll repeat this last point and we'll end here. So blind following means to do something without understanding. Because if the spiritual master is asking us to do something and we understand that we cannot do it, then we'll discuss it with him. To understand better what it is, and then we can follow without being blind. You know, and in that way, meditation on the order of the spiritual master, thinking about it, analyzing it to understand why he's asking me to do that, then it can lead to genuine following. This is my humble realization. It's very dangerous to just hear something and try to follow it without fully understanding why we should do that. Because if you don't understand why you're doing something, soon after you will give it up. Just like blindly you accepted it, blindly you reject the same order. So my take on this is, analyze very carefully the order of the spiritual master. Think why he is asking me to do that. Try to understand his purpose, his intention by giving you this order. And when you do this, then you will understand it and then you will embrace the order with your whole heart. Yeah. And then it's not blind following. Hare Krishna. Okay, we are late. Srila Prabhupada ki, Nanti Kori Vaishnava Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanande.